Hey, Dog Nation, I'm Brandon Adams. You're about to hear today's episode of Dog Nation Daily. But when we're done, we're going to debut a brand new segment. It's called the R.S. Andrews Podcast Cooldown. You may be wondering what that is. After the show, I'll tell you all about it. Hope you'll stick around for it just as soon as the broadcast is done. With that in mind, Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Pella Window and Door of Georgia, begins right now.
Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by Pella Window and Door of Georgia, viewed to be the best.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
This is the week that so many of us have been waiting for, and by waiting, I mean really waiting for more than a year, right? Georgia did not have spring practice a year ago, but this week, tomorrow, in fact, Georgia will take place in 2021 spring practice, and it really kind of starts a theme for what I think is going to be a pretty big storyline around college football all year long. You know, last year, I think in many ways, and if you go back and listen to some of the stuff that we said, you know, around a year ago, over the course of the months that would follow that, that the 2020 calendar year around college football was, hey, just make the best of the situation. Obviously, the global pandemic has, you know, had, you know, untold impact on all of our lives. And when it comes to, you know, what we were doing last year around college football, we believed that college football was an important step for our society. Georgia can't even hold itself together. There was so much turmoil related to how the pandemic is playing out that we thought the presence of college football was important, and college football in any form or fashion we thought was better than nothing. And so what we got as you head towards the season was some games that were played, some games that were canceled, some fans could attend, most fans could not. But the overall theme through the entirety of the year was, hey, let's just make the best of the situation. Let's do with this the best that we possibly can. I think there's a little bit different theme here for 2021. Now that it was shown a year ago that college football could be played healthily and safely during the global pandemic. And when you see the way in which the vaccine is rolling out, you hear more and more people who are getting that vaccine. You see some of the numbers, the key stats related to the pandemic, you know, going down. All of a sudden now the theme for 2021 seems to be more about eventually getting back to normal. How long does it take? You know, what does the rest of the world of sports look like? Obviously there are still plenty of unknowns with that, but there is clearly a kind of a push towards getting back to normal when it comes to college football, whether it's by the end of the year or at some point during the fall or whenever else. I'm not really smart enough to say, but that's obviously what the theme for the upcoming calendar year is going to be, the move of sports to kind of go back and look like it looked like in kind of a pre-pandemic world. And as I said, with that in mind, the fact that Georgia is participating in spring practice is obviously a huge part of that. And so when you think about some of the things that Georgia coaches have said over the course of the last few days, many of them met with the media a few days prior to that, it's kind of nice to hear the chatter again of the kinds of things that coaches say before the start of spring practice, because this is the kind of thing, as I said before, that we did not get last year, and we should certainly be very grateful to get right now. In fact, I want to focus in on here the day before the start of spring practice on a couple of things that Georgia running backs coach Dale McGee said when he met with reporters a few days ago. We don't always get to hear from Coach McGee very much, but when you do, boy, that's a great opportunity to be able to do just that. And one of the things that McGee talked about was, and I thought this was a really important question, because when you look at the overall depth that Georgia has at its running back situation right now, with obviously Zamir White and James Cook returning, Kendall Milton ready to maybe blossom in a bigger role here in 2021, Kenny McIntosh, who given flashes to play, has really perform well. You start talking about Dejon Edwards, who you got a chance to see late in games a year ago, and when he played, he seemed to really play well. Lavoisier Carroll, either as a running back, the position that he was recruited at, maybe he's cross-training at defensive back right now, but that's another name kind of in the mix with all of this. And so the obvious question that Dale McGee faces, and this is a big thing for a lot of Georgia position coaches in a spring practice in which Georgia, with all of its depth, creates kind of a competition for playing time. You know, playing time is scarce. There are more players capable of playing than there are spots available, at least when you talk about starting roles and featured roles and things like that. So Dale McGee was asked, hey, how is it that you keep everybody happy? How do you keep that team chemistry, that camaraderie, the way that it's supposed to be, knowing that everybody kind of wants to get theirs and everybody wants to have their chance to shine and you know, really, you know, get the spotlight on them? That's just human nature. You got more running backs than you have spots available for playing time. How do you keep everybody happy? And this is one of the reasons why I think that Georgia is really lucky to have Dale McGee, a veteran coach, kind of a dignified presence, calming influence on all of this. this because his very measured response to all of this, I think, is actually really nice. And I think it speaks to the overall theme that exists around a spring practice at a place like Georgia. And one of the reasons why it's so important to have that again this year, this is what Dale McGee said. Take a listen to this.
We preached that from day one because we want all of our players to embrace the grind, but also love one another, whether you're the star player on Saturday or the walk-on that has to give the look to the defense. That's something that has always been a part of me and my philosophy in dealing with players, is that we're all in this together. And it takes a commitment from the entire room to not to be jealous, to look outside of yourself, to learn and promote one another, and be happy for your teammates when they do have success. But also understand that success is not long term, and you will have your adversity and shortcomings. And at times when that happens, the next man has to be able to step up when injuries arise, or we got certain players that can do certain things a little bit better than another player. Then, you know, those players have to relish that role, and the other player that's being taken out of that role has to understand that, hey, this guy's a little bit better at doing this than I can.
To me, this is one of the beautiful things about football, and one of the reasons why I kind of love just being around the sport, watching it as a fan, covering it here as part of Dog Nation Daily presented by Pella Window and Door of Georgia. You know, it's that contrast between, obviously, I'm a person, I want personal success, and yet I'm also a part of a team, and therefore I want team success too. In other words, if I'm a Georgia running back, I clearly want to be on the field. I clearly want my chance to be featured during spring practice. And yet there's also, as Coach McGee pushes there, this need to celebrate the success for the entire unit collectively. And by the way, this is one of those ways in which football has kind of evolved in recent years, where I think running backs now see the value in having other guys capable of playing. It's probably not a coincidence that, you know, you go back and look at Sony Michel and Nick Chubb both having great years in 2017, that the presence of the one made it easier for the other on both sides. Chubb aided Michelle, Michelle aided Chubb. So much so that, you know, there's guys like Kendall Milton who, you know, kind of wanted Georgia to also recruit other good running backs besides him, because I think a lot of these guys know that the lack of wear and tear on their body over the course of the long haul is certainly a good thing. And it's kind of a nice thing to hear, you know, McGee articulate that hey, we're about to embrace the grind. Spring practice is going to be tough. Not everybody's going to get a chance to do everything they want to do. But the way we push each other to get better, making the team better in the process, I think that's a really fun thing, and great to hear McGee say that. Now, the other thing that McGee said is, obviously, what, you know, makes this competition for playing time even more intense for the upcoming season and going on during this spring practice is the fact that Zamir White and James Cook both return, both seniors, both now ready to kind of, you know, be back at Georgia, building on what they've already done in their Georgia careers. McGee was asked during that same press conference of the day of, hey, what was your reaction when you found out that Zamir and Cook were both coming back? And by the way, in answering this question, Dale McGee also referenced the two men I mentioned a moment ago, Nick Chubb, Sony Michel. This is good stuff from Dale McGee. Take a listen to him once again.
Yeah, I mean, it's very similar to the situation when Sony Michel and Nick Chubb came back. I think from a team standpoint, they wanted to do more, and they feel like they're a part of that and part of the success that we can have. I think it's a good situation for our younger running backs and even our younger players, because they offer a lot of leadership mentally and physically on how to perform, how to practice, how to take care of their bodies. So it's very comforting to have those guys back. The biggest thing for me as a coach, and those guys being older players, is they can't get complacent because the playbook is in. We'll have some change-ups here and there, but they just got to make sure that they're pushing forward. They got to treat this offseason and spring football like it's a brand new season.
And let's be honest here for a moment. If you don't want Zamir, if you don't want James Cook to get complacent this spring, or as you head towards the start of the season, the presence of guys like Milton, McIntosh, Dejon Edwards, and others certainly make it hard for them to do that, because they know they're going to have to fight, even though they're veteran players, for every carry they get, which I think is a really nice thing overall. Because let me try to sum up and finish this conversation by saying this. I started the show by saying that the theme of 2021, in many ways around college football, is going to be a return to normalcy eventually over the course of this year. I think the same thing can kind of be true for Georgia a little bit too. Obviously, we're talking a bunch about upgrading the passing attack, making Georgia more explosive, something that resembles what teams like Alabama and LSU have done in the SEC the last couple of seasons. But that doesn't mean that Georgia will abandon the running game as it does so. If anything, the presence of a big-time passing attack should enhance the Georgia rushing attack. And the Georgia rushing numbers that we got used to seeing, maybe some of that kind of returns here a little bit this upcoming season with the passing attack also helping to complement that. I mean, if you want to go back as recently as 2018, Georgia was number one in the SEC in rushing yards. But the last 2 years, 2019 and 2020, Georgia's only been fifth in rushing yards per game. For everything you want to say about the upgraded Alabama passing attack that led to the national championship for that program a year ago, the truth is Alabama actually rushed for more yards last year than Georgia did. It's one of those things you might not realize because you think of Georgia as more of a running-centric offense, even last season to a certain degree. But Alabama, because it was so prolific offensively overall, also rushed for more yards per game than Georgia did last season. So keep that in mind as you go through spring practice here. There's obviously a lot of attention going to be paid to what happens with JT Daniels, what happens with these wide receivers, and how that Georgia passing attack comes into full form as you get ready to start the upcoming year. But don't abandon the running game in your mind. As Del McGee says, I've got a lot of guys fighting for playing time. Whether it's veterans you've seen a lot of or younger guys you haven't seen as much yet as you maybe want to, these guys are going to work together, compete against each other, and we're going to find a running back group capable of returning Georgia to the statistical form that was in a few years ago. If Georgia's as good offensively as it needs to be a true national championship contender, big-time contribution from the Georgia running backs needs to be a big part of that. And the road towards getting that done starts for Georgia when spring practice begins on Tuesday. My name's Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented today by Pella Window and Door of Georgia. Good to have you with us. No matter how you get to us today, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch. Big thanks to our producer today, Connor Riley. We're having a little bit of a technical issue on YouTube there for a moment, but Connor has swooped in. He has solved that problem. We are up and running. Fire has been put out, so all the video platforms were off and running on all of those. Of course, podcast platforms, Apple, Google, Spotify. I post the show every day at theworldfamousdognation.com. Don't forget the video series segment that we've done now for a number of years, the R.S. Andrews Cooldown. We're doing that today on podcast for the first time at the end of this broadcast. So please stick around after the show is done for a little bit on that. You're going to have a really good time with that. We'll tell you more about that here coming up in just a moment. John Stinchcomb on the way here as well in just a little bit. And all of it brought to you today by our friends at Pella Window and Door of Georgia. Love Pella because, listen, when it comes to energy efficient windows and doors, that's an important thing this time of year. Air conditioning units are about to be on. It was really warm yesterday. Did we touch 80 yesterday? We probably got close at some point in time. High 70s, if nothing else. That means a lot of folks kicking that air conditioning on for the first time. And when that AC's in your house, that's where you want it to stay. Not slipping out the crevices around your windows and doors. You don't want that. You want it right there on the inside. Pella Window and Door of Georgia can help make sure that's the case with those energy efficient windows and doors. They've also got great savings for you there as well. Between now and April 1st, you can get 10% off an entire project or no payments, no interest for 12 months. Really, really good savings there on all of that. Also really easy to get in touch with. Check out this website, PellaofGA.com/DogNation. That's PellaofGA.com/DogNation. Or give them a call at 678-638-1496. 678-638-1496. That'll get you in touch with Pella Window and Door of Georgia. Before I get John Stinchcomb here coming up in just a moment, let me do a quick version of Around the Doghouse. I started the show by saying, hey, big offensive upgraded needed for Georgia, and don't discount the role that competition at running back is going to factor into how good Georgia is offensively. That big, prolific offenses are not just prolific in the passing game, they're also prolific in the running game there as well. However, there is no way to sugarcoat this or discount it. There's also a really big spotlight on Georgia quarterback JT Daniels this spring as well. He's one of those Georgia players, like many other guys in this roster, who have not been through a spring practice here yet at UGA. But Kirby Smart does not want to put Daniels on too much of a pedestal, does not want him to have too much of a spotlight on him. That Daniels' work to improve this spring in Kirby's mind is really no different than any other player. This is how Georgia coach Kirby Smart said that the other day.
Everybody needs spring practice. Let's be honest. There's nobody on our roster. I mean, you could even say the returning fifth-year guys It's important that they get the spring practice they have. But for the quarterback position, the continuity of the offense, that's critical. You know, you want to be able to get some relationships built there. Continuity towards the end of the year began to improve. Obviously, offensively, we've got a lot of guys that are coming back. But that doesn't mean you're going to have success because they're coming back. I mean, I think the more the mantra or the message out there is you're going to be great, the tougher our job becomes internally to motivate and have guys. You know, we've had off seasons here where we had returning quarterback, returning backs, returning these guys, two great tackles, and hey, did that equate to instant success? Not necessarily. So what you do and what you earn is what you get in the offseason, and nothing's given to you. There's no entitlement, and I think JT understands that. And I think that the rapport with the receiver group for all the quarterbacks is going to be extremely important in terms of developing our offense and getting timing in the passing game.
I think what Smart says there is obviously really wise, and it's easy to understand why he doesn't want to kind of pull Daniels out from the rest of the team and treat him as like a separate entity when it comes to all of that. We can totally understand that. And there's a little bit of a nod in the direction of kind of rat poison there at the end of that comment there too, which we've obviously addressed many times on shows like this around the SEC, the famous phrase that Nick Saban once made popular. But there is an element in which I am kind of curious to see how much JT Daniels can kind of separate himself and stand apart from the rest of this roster in one respect. And it goes back to something that former Georgia wide receiver Terrence Edwards said on the program a couple of weeks ago. When you've got a quarterback who's your key leader, that it gives you a chance to have a level of leadership that is different than when someone else is that leader. When you're quarterback is a guy like JT Daniels, who was from the class of 2018. He's been in college football now for a while. He's kind of been at two different Power 5 programs. He's just kind of been around the block a couple of times. That guy has a chance to really make himself a focal point leader within the locker room, within the practice field. And that gives Georgia the potential of having an entirely different level of energy than it would have with a less experienced quarterback. Terrence Edwards said that on the show a couple of weeks ago. I thought it was really interesting. And some of this will obviously happen away from our watchful eye. Media fans won't get to see the behind the closed doors work and all of this, that true leadership, where that's truly established. But it's kind of an interesting notion that Smart says, hey, we're going to treat JT Daniels as a player just like everybody else. You understand why the coach would want to say that and why the coach would want to do that. But can Daniels, through his leadership, separate himself and create the kind of aura that causes players to kind of turn and look at him as he hopefully leads the way towards success this season? That will be an interesting test for Daniels to pass here this spring. As we said before, spring practice getting ready to get going on Tuesday. So we're going to do a lot the next couple of days, kind of look at all of this, and then we'll be covering all of the action around spring practice as it takes place. But for now, let's kind of lay the groundwork for all of this, talk to a guy who has been through a lot of Georgia spring practices and kind of knows what it takes to go out there and get ready for an upcoming season. It's the great former Georgia All-American and a terrific voice talking UGA football. Let's speak to John Stinchcomb here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Palo Window and Door.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Hello to John Stinchcomb, great former Georgia All-American, just a great voice to get a chance to talk to when it comes to Georgia football. And John, I'm sure you're much the same way that I am, just excited about the start of spring practice, thankful for, as I said, to start our program, that this upcoming calendar year, I think, gives you a pathway towards something that really feels pretty normal by the time the year is done, maybe. And certainly having Georgia coaches talking about competition for playing time and, you know, pushing each other to be the best. Boy, these are echoes and sounds we didn't get last spring, and it's nice to have them right now, is it not?
No doubt about it. It's amazing how different one year can be from the next. I'm sure we were saying the same sentiment for very different reasons this time last year. But just hearing competition and everybody needs spring ball and, you know, we're not putting anybody on pedestals, that seems very normal and a welcomed voice and experience that hopefully kicks off this Tuesday.
So I believe I've talked to you about this before, but let me kind of bring it back up again since I just addressed it there a moment ago, that Kirby Smart says, listen, I don't want to treat JT Daniels any different than anybody else. He is like the rest of this roster in the fact that everybody needs to work to get better, and this is not just going to be the JT Daniels show during spring practice. I'm paraphrasing, of course, but that's essentially what Smart insinuated when he spoke the other day. And yet, I also go back to what Terrence Edwards, your former teammate, said on the show a couple of weeks ago that, listen, Georgia needs leaders. It's obvious that in 2017, key leadership was a big reason why, you know, Georgia won the SEC, got to the college football playoff, won the Rose Bowl in that college football playoff. And Terrence said, but that team also had a freshman quarterback. And as good as Jake Fromm was as a freshman, it's still a guy who's just fresh out of high school. In the case of JT Daniels, this is a class of 2018 guy. This is a guy that's been around here now a little bit. And so while Smart may want to treat Daniels like any other player, if Daniels, through his leadership, can kind of set himself apart and create the kind of aura that causes other players to want to be led by him, boy, that's a nice spot for Georgia to be in if Daniels could truly assert himself that way this spring, right?
Yes, and it goes the adage for all quarterbacks of there are more eyes on you than you know. That's very true. I mean, the entire team is aware of what their situation is going into spring ball. I mean, they know JT, what he was able to do at the end of the season for Georgia. And if you're a guy like Brock Vandergrift, everybody's aware of you too. So there are plenty of eyes that are watching, even if you are unaware of what's going on as you go to these meetings and as you work out and as you take the practice field. As you're joking around and you're, you know, putting on tape on your wrist, they're still aware of what the quarterbacks are doing and how they're preparing. And, you know, that those are the leadership moments more so than what fans see of, you know, oh, he threw a great deep ball for 60 yards. What the team is looking for is how are you handling the small moments? How are you preparing and what are those micro leadership opportunities that you're taking that kind of sets you apart. And for a guy like JT, who's been around the block and had that experience last year with Georgia, but obviously what he had at USC before then, I think will really not only lend well for himself and how he can relate to the team, but also set a good example for some of the younger quarterbacks whose numbers hopefully aren't called immediately, but will be in the future.
Talked about this a moment ago that, you know, we obviously spent a lot of time talking about Daniel's position and the hope that Georgia kind of upgrades that passing attack. I believe it's imperative if Georgia's going to compete for a national championship, eventually win that prize, you're going to be better in the passing game. And yet quietly alongside that, Georgia's not quite rushing the ball the last couple of years the way they once did. You know, 2018, this team led the SEC in rushing yards per game, only fifth the last couple of years. In fact, surprisingly to maybe to some, Alabama actually rushed for more yards last year than Georgia did. And my point on this, John, is that to be as explosive offensively as you need to be, you've got to have both components. Alabama did have Najee Harris last year to go along with what Mac Jones and Devontae Smith were doing in the passing game. And when you think about Georgia also trying to join that national elite from an offensive standpoint, the running game, whether it be Zamir White and James Cook leading the way or more from Kendall Milton or more from Kenny McIntosh, one way or another, the running game is still supposed to be, I believe, a huge part of that story, and I'm sure you would agree.
I couldn't agree more. I think what gets lost on fans sometimes of, you know, we want to be a run-first team, and that's our identity, and that's who we are. Look statistically across the board at teams that have been able to open up their offense. Their running numbers are still way up there. They're just doing it in different ways. Anytime you're able to attack a defense through an aerial assault, I think it opens up more opportunities. I think back to DeAndre Swift's senior year. Everybody in the stadium knew that he was going to be relied on very heavily, and defenses were challenging Georgia's offense to do something other than DeAndre Swift, and we didn't have a real great answer for it. So if you're able to diversify how you attack a defense, it allows you to have more options and eliminates their opportunities to just throw the kitchen sink at a particular part of your offense, which we were way too run dominant, mainly because we didn't have other answers that we felt confident in.
I had a chance to have another one of your former teammates on the show last week, David Pollack. We were talking about, you know, the big issue for Georgia defensively, obviously, this spring, and I think this will still be unsettled, probably even when the season begins, is what's going to be going on there at that defensive secondary. And the one thing that I've been a big believer in, and David kind of reaffirmed this on the show last week, is if the Georgia pass rush can kind of continue to come into form. I thought Georgia got after quarterbacks better a year ago than it probably has in any year under Kirby Smart thus far as coach. And if that next step and that progression continues again in 2021, then all of a sudden you don't have as much pressure to really figure out everything with your defensive secondary kind of right away, because those guys won't have to cover quite as long because quarterbacks are running for their life back there in the backfield. Is this a situation also where you see if the front seven can really get it done, whatever may or may not be going on the defensive secondary all of a sudden becomes a little easier to mitigate?
Yeah, without question, the best way you can protect and help your cornerbacks is with an effective pass rush, primarily out of your front four. I mean, obviously the box players, your D-line and your linebackers need to eliminate the run and try to make other opponents one-dimensional so they're not play-action passing you to death. But hey, I think we probably feel pretty good about the safety position. I think our question marks or uncertainty probably comes primarily at cornerback. But what we saw in the Super Bowl is if a team is able to get after a quarterback with four rushers, you can really help out each other in that back end. I mean, safeties can play over the top of cornerbacks. Cornerbacks are freed up to focus on just a couple routes that are short and intermediary and not have to worry about over-the-top stuff. So you really are eliminating some of the concerns you might have for a cornerback. Now, that's if you have a great pass rush, and who knows better than David Pollack, because you let that guy loose,
yeah.
And any secondary player in college football was grateful for it, because that time clock in a quarterback's head certainly gets accelerated, and you can't sit back there and pat the ball and wait for your third receiver in your progression to work himself open. That just doesn't happen.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. Kind of along those same lines, I think one of the consensus around Dog Nation is the very best position group on this team going into the start of spring may be the defensive line. That when you look at the key performers, the guys around there, that may be about as deep a group and as certainly top-end talent-wise as impressive a group as Georgia has. With Georgia also looking to break in some new starters along the offensive line to find out what it has with some of the young guys. John, how much do you think the presence of a great defensive line, presumably these two groups doing some battle during some of these spring practice, how much does the presence of that great defensive line help Georgia also figure out what it has along its offensive line?
I know this. I wouldn't have been the player I was without Charles Grant. If we didn't compete against, I competed against him pretty much my entire career at Georgia and then also in New Orleans. But, we had defensive lines that included Marcus Stroud and Richard Seymour and linebackers like Boss Bailey and Kendrell Bell and Will Witherspoon and Demetric Evans, who played 12 years, who was kind of a forgotten name across that defensive front for a couple years. I mean, the competition makes you better. The iron sharpens iron. Well, I saw those defensive ends and defensive linemen on five times as much as you see an opponent just because of the way the practice schedule works out. So there's nothing better for the development of Georgia's offensive line and, the couple of holes that they're trying to fill just with younger or more inexperienced bodies than what fans know. There's nothing better for them than the competition they're going to face. Trying to move Jordan Davis in the run game is going to try to make you better, because if you can do that, you can do what most SEC teams cannot. If you are faced up against Jalen Carter and Walker and you're a young tackle and see the speed of Adam Anderson off the edge, that's only going to make you better for what you're going to see on Saturdays and the opponents they're preparing for.
I think that's exactly right. Let me finish with this. You mentioned this a moment ago, your NFL team, the New Orleans Saints. Obviously, over the weekend, we find out that Drew Brees is now going to retire after a 20-year career. What did Brees mean to you playing with him and, kind of just the relationship y'all had together and, just looking back on his legacy as a football player that you really had a chance to, have a big role in and kind of share in? What are your thoughts now that Brees is getting ready to hang up those cleats?
Oh, I just flooded with such great memories and my appreciation for having the opportunity to play alongside someone who obviously, you know, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. What he did on the field was remarkable. But being with him and understanding that he took in so much more and had so much more on his plate as a leader, whether it was in the locker room, across the organization, in the community, his efforts off the field were equally as important. And you're talking about a guy who played the game as well as anyone who's ever done it. So, I'm biased because I consider him a friend and someone who, you know, we vacation with or have in the past. He's pretty busy these days, although now his schedule has been cleared up. So,
it will be.
Maybe we can make that happen, although I heard he's hopping right into an analyst booth. And for a guy that can recall plays specifically from games, which I struggle to remember, did we play them? But Drew can say, third quarter, it's third and seven, and we ran, and can recite the play and who he threw it to. That's an impressive guy. So I think he's going to be he'd be all right in the booth.
Well, John, it's great to have your analysis here on this show, and we certainly love hearing those stories from you and your memories of all of that. Hope you enjoy the start of spring practice this week. We'll look forward to getting some more thoughts from you on it as it progresses here in the days ahead. Right back here on Dog Nation Daily again, presented by Pella Window and Door Georgia very soon. Have a great week, John.
Likewise. Go Dogs.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
You know, really interesting to hear John say that, you know, Charles Grant obviously was a tremendous, tremendous athlete. I mean, a lot of those who are, you know, kind of my age, my era, remember Grant as a player at Georgia and just the tremendous specimen that he was. Really uncommon, you know, athleticism for a big man. And to think that John and Charles did battle against each other at Georgia for a number of years, then went on to the same thing there at the NFL level. Just a really cool thing. It's one of the reasons why we love having guys like John Stinchcomb on the show is because they can relate those stories of, yeah, I was blocking for Drew Brees and I was, you know, in that locker room with that Hall of Famer and doing battle with during practice and during games with these guys who played the game at the highest level. That's important analysis to be able to offer when it comes to Georgia getting ready to start spring practice. Really good stuff from John helping us provide that right there. As we get ready to transition to our SEC through, we'll look at a couple of things going on around the SEC. I also want to give a shout out to my friends at Meriwether and Tharp. You know, they're your source for Georgia divorce. You can find them online at theatlantadivorceteam.com. And unfortunately, you know, listen, it's just a fact of life, right? I mean, you know, sometimes you kind of come to the end of a relationship and you've done everything you can to save it. And now you're kind of wondering what's next. Well, the question for what's next and how to make yourself whole again on the other side of all of this, my friends at Meriwether and Tharp can certainly go a long way towards helping you answer that, because when you've got questions about the divorce process, they have answers. Now, some of this is free resources. It's blog posts, it's podcasts, it's an initial consultation with one of their attorneys. And a lot of this is going to be the kind of specific information, the kind of expertise that can only be gained by going through a situation like this thousands and thousands of times before. Your situation is obviously specific to you. We understand that. But the kind of institutional knowledge that's gained by doing this a bunch gives Meriwether and Tharp the ability to really be a strong advocate on your side, giving you advice, but also fighting for you, which is important when it comes to stuff like this. So please find them online at theatlantadivorceteam.com. That is theatlantadivorceteam.com. That'll get you in touch with Meriwether and Tharp, your source for Georgia divorce. NCAA tournament field was announced yesterday. And, you know, listen, I've said before that when I look at Georgia, I see a team that I think has gotten better year over year and really over the last couple of years, but obviously a long way away from where it needs to be. And I'm more than happy to be patient with Tom Crean here a little bit. I think that Crean's probably a pretty good coach, and eventually you get a chance to see that shown there at Georgia. So, you know, Crean may be the guy that eventually leads Georgia in the direction that it needs to go. Certainly I hope that he is. But when you see another field announced this year, especially given the fact that you didn't have one a year ago, it's just really a reminder of just how much fun it would be to see, you know, Georgia in the mix and you know, doing that here this spring. Obviously, the Lady Dogs are going to have their field draw announced today, and that's going to be a lot of fun. But to see the men's team be able to do that, especially when you watch Georgia Tech getting a chance to do that this year, there's admittedly this longing to kind of be back a part of March Madness again and really make a big-time tournament run. It's been a while since Georgia's been able to do that, and you know, listen, I don't follow college basketball as closely as I once did, but I still love the sport, and I would love to follow it again as closely as I once did. And obviously, maybe in the years to come, Georgia will give you a chance to do that. I guess the best that I could tell, this is a weird year for the tournament because a lot of blue blood teams like Kentucky and Duke and others are not there. You know, to me, this kind of comes down to a couple of things. Big Ten has not won a national championship in a long time. They're trying to break that drought. They've obviously got better teams this year, the better chance to do that, and maybe they've had in really quite some time. That's a storyline. Gonzaga also trying to be the first undefeated national champion since Indiana there in 1976. This is a team that a lot of the analytics folks think is, I don't want to say a shoe-in to win, but they are certainly strongly supported by some of the key metrics that are out there. At least the gambling community seems to think so. So that's probably worth watching. There was also kind of a juicy, from an SEC angle, a little bit of a juicy conspiracy theory last night, I guess. Mitch Barnhart, the Kentucky athletic director, is also the selection committee chairman this year. And somewhat surprisingly, I guess, is that Louisville did not make the field. And Louisville fans are beside themselves on social media right now about the fact that Barnhart, the Kentucky AD leading the selection committee, led a deliberation that led to Louisville being excluded. Now, they are the 69th team, I believe, which gives them a chance to be included if someone can't make it. But a little bit of a spicy rivalry there between Kentucky and Louisville, which has always been the case, related to the fact that Louisville did not get in the field last night. A lot of Louisville fans were pretty upset about that. Probably no big surprise in the world of recruiting over the weekend. Five-star running back Emmanuel Henderson did choose Alabama. I don't want to say this was as expected because I never made the official prediction, but we did talk about last week Alabama having a ton of recruiting momentum, and it just really seemed like as you kind of got closer and closer to this that maybe Georgia wasn't. You know, there was the quote from Jim Bob Stripling, the coach for Emmanuel Henderson, that Georgia was kind of the maybe team, that it was LSU and Auburn and Alabama and maybe Georgia. So Alabama kind of keeps their recruiting momentum hot when it comes to Emmanuel Henderson. Big, big recruiting win there for the Crimson Tide there for the class of 2022. We also talked on Friday about some rumors related to an incident that had occurred on campus at the University of Tennessee that was initially just reported as an altercation, not really naming any of the students involved, but it was very, very quick that message board chatter within Tennessee circles were saying this was actually involving Tennessee players themselves. Come to find out, there are three Tennessee players involved in this: Martavius French, Isaac Washington, Aaron Willis, and they are now suspended indefinitely by Tennessee because of what has gone down here with a little bit of altercation there on campus. Kind of a tough thing for new Tennessee coach Josh Heupel to be dealing with. And really, from the standpoint that matters on all of this, it's just the fact that Tennessee does not have very much in the way of numbers as it is. They've had attrition from the program, signees that chose not to come, players that were on the roster a year ago choosing to transfer out. And so now three more bodies off that roster kind of unavailable, suspended indefinitely while the facts are kind of sifted through and all of this. A lot of times coaches, when they first get a job, are looking to kind of assert themselves from a discipline standpoint anyway, and now Josh Heupel gets a chance to do that, maybe more of a chance to kind of put some distance between himself and the Jeremy Pruitt era here with what's going down here. But that's a story worth watching, and this is an example of the rumor mill kind of turning out to be true when it comes to all of that. Then there's this reporting from the Rock Hill, South Carolina newspaper. It got kind of picked up by some of the other websites there as well. Darian Kendrick, the former Clemson defensive back, who 24/7 Sports has reported, is being pursued by Georgia and Alabama and Florida and some of the big teams around the SEC. We've obviously talked about Kendrick a number of times here. Well, the local paper in Kendrick's hometown has reported that Kendrick has been recently arrested on a couple misdemeanor charges, one of those related to drugs, one of those related to a weapon. Obviously, it's difficult to know what any of this means for his recruitment now going forward. And obviously, for a guy who had been dismissed from the Clemson program, and the one thing that I'd said at the time is, obviously, knowing Georgia needs that veteran presence in the defensive back room, knowing that Kendrick had been a former five-star recruit, not necessarily a defensive back recruit, but a former five-star recruit and a guy that had played at an all-ACC level at Clemson, that, well, if you've got a chance to get Kendrick, you've at least got to be interested in that. And the question comes up of, well, what about the fact that he was dismissed to Clemson? What I said at the time was that I don't know anything. Nothing's been made public to me, known to me, that would make me think that Georgia ought to be scared away from going after a guy like Darian Kendrick. And so now the obvious question is, well, what now that he's been arrested and you've got the misdemeanor charges here, what now? I guess I'm going to withhold judgment on all of this. The news report itself, not enough to make me say, well, that's it. That means that Georgia should be done with Kendrick. And by the way, I'd feel the same way about an Alabama or any of the teams that might potentially pursue him, that, you know, the schools that are interested deserve to have their chance to kind of go through all of this and kind of figure out what has happened here, what this means for Kendrick. I'll also add to it that I think sometimes it kind of goes to show you that, you know, the presence of football in your life, the presence of the football routine can be a really good thing. When sometimes you get out of that, you know, obviously things happen you maybe wish didn't happen. But that's clearly an issue there for him to deal with, and an issue for the programs in pursuit of Kendrick to kind of figure out there as well. Reports out there that he has had a kind of a run-in with the law here, a couple misdemeanor charges, and so we'll see what happens with all of that. I'll also give a quick shout-out here. As I said a moment ago, I talked tournament field off the top of the SEC through here. Don't forget, Lady Dogs will find out their tournament draw here today. That's a big deal. They are looking at a very good seed, big chance to really make a run in the NCAA tournament, and an incredible turnaround for Joni Taylor there, the SEC Coach of the Year, much deserved so, and she gets a chance to, after making a run all the way to the finals of the SEC tournament, gets a chance to do even more in the ladies version of March Madness coming up. That's going to be a lot of fun. Diamond Dogs got a sweep this week over Lipscomb. That was nice to see. And how about Brian Harmon? T3 there at the Players Championship. Good job by the former UGA golfer there on the PGA Tour as well, which I thought was a terrific tournament. And Georgia was a big part of that with Harmon there in the mix at the end there. So a little bit of an expanded version. We'll make that your SEC through. And as we get ready to wrap up today, don't forget, for those of you on podcast, the moment we're done, you get a chance to hear your very first version of our R.S. Andrews podcast, Cool Down. Going to have a lot of fun with you on that extended podcast coverage today, just as soon as we wrap up the program. Also, for those of you that have migrated over to YouTube on video, thank you so much for being a YouTube subscriber to us. Thank you so much for setting those notifications. I know Facebook has been a little tricky lately in terms of sending out those notifications, and many people have kind of found that the more reliable video platform is right there on YouTube. So if you're doing that, enjoying that, we certainly appreciate all of that. In fact, for those of you that continue to subscribe to our YouTube page, I'm going to make all of you the Golden Shoe winner for today. We give out the Golden Shoe each and every day here. Normally it's a part of our Gator Hater roll call, but a good Gator Haters also showing off their support by subscribing on YouTube. We appreciate that. Speaking of the lousy, stinking Gators, Gator Hater Countdown closes out 229 days from right now. Georgia goes back to Jacksonville, gets a win against Florida. We'll see you tomorrow, Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door of Georgia. And for the first time on the podcast, we are going to do a version of a segment we've done on video now for a number of years. It's called the R.S. Andrews Cooldown. It's brought to you by our friends at R.S. Andrews. I'll tell you more about them here in a little bit, but let me just address this here for a moment. A lot of folks have wondered, well, why do you do this thing on video where you take comments and you don't do the same thing on the podcast? And I've always been really hesitant about this for two reasons, and I'll just be really candid with you here for a moment. Is that the podcast has always been really important to me in the fact that it's delivered at almost the same time each and every day. I didn't want to do something that made the show longer, which delayed it getting posted. And, you know, I think a lot of people kind of like the podcast at a certain length. They would almost get stressed out if it was like all of a sudden way more podcasts to consume each and every day. And so we've been really, really careful to try to make the podcast product really consistent over the years. But you know, this is one of those things of, you know, why not do something special for the podcast that doesn't exist anywhere else, the same way I've kind of done something special for video that hasn't existed on the podcast. So all of that is kind of a long way to say this, is that some of you may not want this, and you may just get done with the regular show, and you may decide that that's enough. And so obviously, we're going to keep that in the same format that it's always been. But for those people who want just a little bit more, who want to interact with me a little bit, either by posting a message in the comment section when I post each and every broadcast to the website dognation.com, or hitting me up on Twitter at dognationdaily, for those of you who would like to have this, I would certainly like to invite you to be a part of that. And as I said before, those are the main ways in which we'll read comments. Your thoughts on whatever's going on around Georgia football, just please just drop that in there. There is a comment section at the end of every podcast when it's posted. It's also very easy to always get with me there at Dog Nation, I should say on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily. So it's just a really great chance for us to interact with each other here a little bit. We're going to try this each and every day. I do have a couple things in mind for some surprises in the days to come, of maybe some content in addition to your comments that won't appear anywhere else but this portion of the podcast here on Dog Nation Daily. So that's going to be a lot of fun all the way around. A really good stuff. I want to read a few comments that I've gotten recently here in just a moment. Let me also remind you that, as I said before, this is brought to you by R.S. Andrews. They do air conditioning work, heating, plumbing, electric work. We're obviously coming up on the time of year in which your air conditioning unit is about to be working very hard because it's going to be warm in the spring. It always is. And if you're concerned that maybe yours is not quite ready to go the way that it needs to be, then get your system tuned back up to factory fresh specs with my friends at R.S. Andrews. You can find them online at rsandrews.com. Let me start with something I got on Twitter from our buddy MadDog19. I thought this was kind of interesting. I guess there had been some chatter from Florida message boards. One of the reporters who covers Florida for 24/7 Sports, his name is Bob Redman. I guess he had a report on his website the other day about Emory Jones underperforming during spring practice. The fact that people supposedly call him Mr. Checkdown. That was one of the big lines that was kind of taken away from what Bob Redman had to say, that he was struggling with inaccuracy. And a couple years ago, I remember back when we were doing SSC Country Live, you know, we had some video of Jones when he first got to the Florida campus. I'm not making fun. This is just a true story. Is that, you know, they were throwing the ball into the net. You know, it was kind of the throw on the run, throw into the net, kind of the stuff that we've kind of seen Dan Mullen quarterbacks do for years. And, you know, you could kind of notice, even in a small drill like that, that Jones was seemingly dealing with some accuracy issues because he wasn't hitting the net. He was skipping it. And he was throwing it to the side, overthrowing it. So, I mean, I've seen visual evidence of what I think is a guy named Emory Jones who has struggled with accuracy just a bit. It's not a huge surprise to me to hear some concerns coming, you know, from a media entity that covers Florida saying some of that kind of stuff. I'm also at times of the belief that sometimes that what coaches say about a player, a quarterback especially, what the intended message is exactly the opposite of that. You know, the other day, Mullen was bragging on Emory Jones, saying, well, there's actually some throws that he can make that his predecessor at Florida, Kyle Trask, couldn't make. And, you know, I think a lot of people viewed that with suspicion. I think that's probably pretty fair to say that people are kind of wondering, was that really true? And it kind of left me to wonder, wow, maybe Emory Jones is really struggling at Florida, you know, spring practice. If Dan Mullen is going out of his way to praise him this much, he must really feel like he needs a confidence boost. And maybe he does. And then you kind of wonder, well, you know, where's this reporter getting his information from? Is this one of those things where, you know, there's a sanctioned leak here opening the door for someone like Anthony Richardson, who I've heard from a lot of Florida fans on, that, you know, there's some belief in Gainesville, even going back to the, you know, early days of the winter, that maybe Emory Jones wouldn't hold off a guy like Richardson all the way around. So our buddy MadDog19 had shared that with me on Twitter about what's going on there at Florida. A little bit of unhappiness with the Florida quarterback situation, at least based on what one of the big reporters that covers the Gators is saying about that. I also want to read a few comments here from a story that I put up yesterday at DogNation.com with some comments from David Pollock when he joined us here on our show last week, Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door of Georgia. And, you know, I pulled out the part where Pollock was talking about the pass rush and how the pass rush, and by the way, on today's regular broadcast, you heard John Stinchcomb echoing some of the things that David Pollock had said about that. And so what, you know, Pollock essentially said was, hey, you know, with the questions in the secondary, even more reason to be great with the pass rush. And as David correctly pointed out, Georgia's actually really good in that Peach Bowl win against Cincinnati doing all of that. And so now it's a need and an opportunity for Georgia to do that for really the full season. And as I've said to you many times before, the same way that Georgia's trying to be more aggressive offensively and have more explosive offensive plays, I think parallel to that, I think there's also, at least there should be, and maybe there is, a push to be more aggressive defensively too, creating the kinds of negative plays that give you a chance to get that done. So some folks kind of weighed in on this yesterday, and I'll read a few of these comments here today too as a part of our podcast cool down. Montana Dog on the comments section here at DogNation.com. He says, I agree 150%, Brandon, and I've been saying this for many weeks now. David Pollock is correct. Just look at what our, quote, elite secondary did against Florida and Alabama. He says, egads, we got pretty well carved up by the opposing quarterbacks. Even with such a great secondary, we never got much effective pressure on either quarterback. Look at how the Bucs defeated the high-powered and high-scoring offense of the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Defensive havoc and consistent pressure. That's how the Bucs won the game. I think that Montana Dog is really pretty correct in all of that, Super Bowl commentary included, that when you have that high-powered offense, when you're facing them as an opposing defense, if you can create your own negative plays, it just has the ability to counterbalance against whatever the explosive offense is doing. I think that's good stuff there from Montana Dog. Another comment here from WCH, also from the comment section at DogNation.com, saying, let's coach up Nolan Smith and Adam Anderson to lead the way in our havoc raid. That turns into turnovers and potential defensive touchdowns as well. WCH says, nothing discourages a team more than a turnover, because everyone who follows football knows that the team that turns the ball over the most usually loses. That's also a fair point there, too. He says, we've got things in place now to win the national title. Let's do it. Go dog. So good stuff there from WCH weighing in there on that topic. UGA 66 says, create havoc on defense. UGA's mandate, take pressure off the young defensive backs. Turn JT Daniels loose on offense, and he mentions a couple of the commenters saying they're right. This could be the year for Georgia. So a lot of optimism there in the comment section right now. Tommy Lee also says, how do you shut down a scoring offense? Once again, just ask the Tampa Bay Bucks. Second time that's gotten mentioned here. The Kansas City Chiefs quarterback was harassed all game long in the Super Bowl by the Bucks defensive front. If the Dogs could follow that blueprint all season, on the road to a championship, they could go. So really good comments from the comment section there at DogNation.com. Also from those of you who've shared some stuff with me on Twitter the last couple of days, and I really appreciate you doing that. And for those of you who've kind of stuck around here for the R.S. Andrews Cool Down on podcast today, I'll encourage you to do the same thing. I'd love to have your voice heard. That's one of the things about, you know, 90-something percent of the people who consume the show don't do it live. Obviously, the podcast doesn't really give you the live option. You guys are all, and gals, are all on-demand listeners. Here. So I'd love to hear from you. I'd love for your voice to be heard. When I post the show to DogNation.com, I'll do that around 3 p.m. each and every day. You can hop in there, type in a comment, whatever you think about Georgia football. I'll read that during this portion of our broadcast day, or you can just hit me up directly on Twitter at DogNationDaily. Thanks to all of you for being here as part of our R.S. Andrews Cool Down on podcast. Thanks to our friends at R.S. Andrews for making it possible. Trust them for your air conditioning, heating, plumbing, electric needs. Find them online at rsandrews.com. We will see all of you back here tomorrow for Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door of Georgia. And for all these years, thank you so much for being a listener to our podcast. I really appreciate that, and it is certainly a privilege to speak to you each and every day.